Heading into our last hour with Miriam Delicato, author of a book about the Blue Star revelation that she received. Well, the Hopi received it too, that she gets the name from that. But after a couple of encounters, she's had something to say about our future, and more specifically, our near future, which doesn't look particularly good. There are others out there who have had a similar experience. They want to share it with Miriam next. People who have also been abducted, who have also have a message to share, and the messages that they're receiving jibe with hers. We'll hear it next, coming up on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Let's launch right into it again with Miriam Delicato and Justin, who's been waiting on the wildcard line on Coast to Coast AM. Justin?
Good evening, good morning, wherever you are, Mr. Ian. I had a question for Miriam. If her blondes had any relation to what Billy Meyer had described, or maybe Barbara Marcinak, and whether the Hopi, if the star might actually be Nibiru, as Hitchin had mentioned.
Well, to answer the first part of the question, I'm not familiar enough with the Betty and Barney Hill story to know whether it's the same or not, because most of the information that I have that I'm talking about today, I'm not getting it from anywhere else except directly from them. And I made a promise to myself early on to try and stay away from other people's information so that I would keep it clear within my own mind. So I can't tell you if it's similar to that story.
Well, he was talking about Billy Meyer, which is different
Meyer,
than the...
Sorry.
Yeah. And then to the second question?
If the Blue Star, the Hopi, actually would happen to be Nibiru, as Sitchin had mentioned, this long cycle in comet-like orbit.
There's a really good possibility that that's it, yes. I have not been told that it is Planet X or anything along those lines. The only thing I know is that it could be a comet that is going to hit the Earth. So that's the information I was told.
Let's go to Carol on Coast to Coast AM for Miriam Delicato. Carol?
Hi, Miriam. I'd like to know if you are part of the Urantia group.
No, I'm not.
Have you ever read the Urantia letters?
No, I have not, but I have heard the name.
Okay, because several things that you refer to are in the Urantia, like the Blue Star, mm-hmm. and it's mentioned several times in the 42 letters of the Urantia, and I had just wondered if you had, it sounded so much, what you said just corresponds so much with what I read in that.
Are you a member of that group?
No.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Let me get to, let's see. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'd already begun to hit the off button. Deborah in Pueblo, Colorado, on Coast to Coast AM for Miriam Delicato. Deborah?
Hello, Ian. I'm calling to find out if anyone has had reoccurring dreams about this from, like, the East Coast and has eventually come to the Rocky Mountain area. I've been training because of this dream to be a medical person, because in this dream I have to take care of these small children with these wounds and burns all over their body. And I was just wondering, what type of a fatality are we looking at?
What the fatality rate would be?
Yeah, I mean, if people don't go underground or take special cautions to go into shelters and things, what's going to happen? I mean, are everybody out there? Are they just going to get killed?
You know, that's really tough to answer. And from the vision that I was shown, I'm going to tell you what I saw. And this has stayed with me for 19 years now. And this is one of the strong reasons why I'm sharing this. When I was staring at this big picture screen, I saw thousands and thousands of people, if not millions of people, just in one area with their arms reaching up, screaming, clawing at each other, trying to get on board a craft. And I'll never forget that, because it's very disturbing to me, even to think about now, and it was impressing upon me that probably two-thirds of the planet would be, if not, if they were not killed because of the event, that they would be killing each other.
Okay.
And that's a frightening picture, but it's what I saw.
Okay. So that's what the safe land is for, is that to go there so that you can try to survive as a community?
Yes.
Okay.
And there will be many communities all over the planet, not just in the Four Corners area, but all over the planet. The indigenous peoples of the world know where these areas are, and they're the teachers of this earth. We need to listen to them.
Deborah's got it easier because she's, of course, in Colorado already.
Mm-hmm.
Unless suddenly some safe land appears between here and Milwaukee. I think I'm SOL.
Can I just add something here about the callers that are calling in? I think it's just amazing that they are clearly getting the messages that they are, because we feel so much of these changes that are coming, and it's great that they're getting the messages. I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
These are messages of doom for most people.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a sense from you that you're not comfortable being a doomsayer.
I'm not. I'm
but
not
you kind of have to kind of get real with that, I think.
Yeah, it's true. I do.
Because you kind of hitch and you're trying to, I think, to, and I just think at some point when you put it in a very straightforward, when you serve it straight up without ice, I think it speaks more to the truth of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
For you, I mean, I've always said in my own context that if you can't say it into the eyes of somebody who's dying, chances are it's a lie.
Right.
And so, you just, most of the people who are listening to you right now, according to the prophecy that you say you received from 1988, we're all goners. And if we don't know anybody who is connected to Native American wisdom, or we don't know anybody, and we have nobody speaking up on where the safe lands are,
mm-hmm.
we could still be driving around. We could get in an RV and be driving around the Four Corners area for years, with great disruption to our lives on that prophecy that something is going to happen. What's the certain, what percentage of certainty do you feel you are here to communicate on the inevitability of this?
95%.
Okay. And if it doesn't happen, will that be okay with you?
If it didn't happen, I would be elated for the earth.
Okay. Let me get to Jim, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast AM for Miriam Delicato. Jim?
Hey, Ian. Hey, Miriam.
Hello.
I had an encounter here several months ago that I relayed to George. Anyway, during this encounter, I met up with just a reed thin, about a 14-year-old girl, white, blonde hair, just so white, it was almost like paper white,
mm-hmm.
real thin, iridescent skin, almost looked like mother of pearl, and eyes that were like laser beams, blue.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and after this encounter, I was touched by a dark-type being. It described himself as a trans-dimensionalist, and I heard a pop, and then woke up. Well, after this encounter, I was just energized. I felt tremendous calm, tremendous understanding, and it still continues to some extent to this day. And my question is, does this sound very similar to the type of experiences that you've had?
Yes, because when you're describing what this person, this young woman looked like, you're describing what the tall blonde aliens looked like to me, especially when you're talking about their skin. And it does leave you with a sense of knowingness afterwards. If they touch you or come into contact with you or communicate with you in any way, you just have such an overwhelming feeling of love and understanding of who we are as human beings and what we're doing here on a spiritual path. So I do relate to that quite a bit.
Dale is in Las Vegas on Coast to Coast AM for Miriam Delicato. Dale?
Hi, Miriam.
Hello.
I live in Las Vegas. We don't have any seeds here. And the archaeologists tell us that the people that lived in our area 10,000 years ago lived off of rats and insects. Now we have a population of 2 million people. I'm wondering what to do. And also, when you speak of the end time, end of what exactly?
Really good question. End of what?
End of the world being structured as it currently is. And we live in a society right now where we've had free will to do as we want, play as we want, learn as we want. And from what I understand, this world, we're creating a situation where we're becoming self-destructive again. And that needs to change. So the next world that we are going to live in, I believe, is going to be a world where there's going to be less focus on materialism and more focus on community-based, you know, culture and spiritual understanding and growth on a level that is higher vibrationally than we're currently in right now. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but it's going to be a very different world where we are going to be able to communicate telepathically instead of using speech, and we're moving towards that now. So these are some of the things that are going to be coming.
Okay. Mark is in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. First-time caller line for Miriam Delicato. Mark?
Hello, Miriam. Hi.
Hello.
I wanted to share with you that 25 years ago, after giving a concert, I was lifted to universal consciousness, and I was shown a great many things also. The way it was presented to me at the time was I was to take my brothers and sisters to a place that was safe during the time of trouble. And like you, I think I've had even a more difficult time over the years, of course, having to incorporate this higher vibration and higher thought and higher understanding in a world full of people where there's very few who really get it. I think you're right on the head that mankind is going to shift to a spiritual conscious space. I was presented as the new mankind. What I wanted to share was this, and I feel that this is very, very important. Isn't it important that people should know where to call or where to contact groups of people so that people can begin gathering now and putting their monies into what needs to be put into now to prepare for this coming time?
Wow, excellent, excellent question.
It's very important.
It's extremely important that the gatherings that you're talking about, some of us have been clear enough to be able to receive that message that the gatherings will be taking place. What I was told was that in these end times, when this star appeared, which I believe is the comet that we're seeing now, we would begin doing these gatherings. The gatherings are people who have had experiences will come together in groups and be able to discuss how it is we're going to be able to help the people around us survive the coming days. And that is happening right now as we speak. The Hopi people have a hand in this as well, not only from what these aliens told me, but also from their own people and from their own prophecies, that they are the gatherers as well of these people to bring them together and help them to understand what it is that their specific jobs actually are. The one woman called in and said that she was learning to become a doctor because she knew that that was what was going to be needed. Another person's collecting seeds. Another person is going to learn about how to build a home. We are all learning very specific things, and we're all very driven by that. And so these gatherings are beginning now. And my message and the message from the aliens is that we as a community need to come together and open our arms to each other. And the only way that we can do that is by becoming more vocal within our own communities to help find one another.
Let's go to Mike in Ogden, Utah on Coast to Coast AM for Miriam Delicato. Mike?
Yeah. Hi, how you doing tonight?
Hi, Mike.
I actually have two questions. The first is, can you tell me what the red orb means? And the second is, do you have any feelings on that some people's job is going to be actually to buy time for others to make it to these safe areas?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the second question?
He wants to know whether it'd be some people's job to buy time for other people to make it to the safe areas.
And also, if she could tell me if she knows what the red orb means.
Right, the red orb thing. Well, thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. I'm not sure what the red orb means. I was not told. I know what the blue and the green means, but I'm not sure what the red one is. So I'm sorry I can't answer that.
And the blue one means again?
The blue one is a communication. The blue one is communication, and from what I was told, the blue orb is the one that will go down and find a specific person that they're looking for and give them a communication to go to a certain place, for example.
And the green one?
The green one, from what I was told, was they said that it was, sorry, got sidetracked there. The green one is used for many different things, and one of them is to collect samples of the earth. It'll come down to the earth and collect soil, air samples, parts of the trees as clippings to make sure that nothing is happening on the planet that shouldn't be going on.
Okay. And what do you think of my theory that as I keep encouraging the hostile invading alien armies to eat the Canadians first to buy time for the rest of us in North America?
I say tell them to go south first.
But that's why the people will survive in the four corners. Is they're going across Canada munching the Canadians with their health care, and they're just going to eat those, and then that's why everybody's in the safe lands down in the Southwest.
Well, you never know, right?
Okay. That's my theory. I'm sticking with it. It wasn't revealed to me. It's just been my theory.
You know, the thing is, there's talk about these bad aliens and then the good aliens. And it's a really complex story that, I mean, we could spend, 4 months just talking about the intricacies of that. And when it comes down to it, the safe lands are not just going to be for, just a couple hundred people. We're talking about thousands or millions of people in certain areas all over the earth. You know, in the area that I'm in northern British Columbia, there are stories that within the indigenous peoples here that this is one of the safe lands. And then I had a conversation with a gentleman just last week that was telling me it was remarkable for him to hear me talk about that because he'd been having dreams about it, about the area that I was living in, that it would be the safe land. So people are getting the messages.
What is it about a particular area that makes it safe? Why is it a free square, if you will?
When they are going to be coming down to help the people of the earth, they will not have the resources to be able to, quote, protect and help everyone on the planet.
Yeah, but why those areas? What about those areas led them to choose them to say, well, these are the areas we'll save?
I'm not sure. I can't answer that.
All right. Not enough time here to, I don't think we ever got back to the question that was asked at the top of the hour before we went to the break. And if you can, I'd like to make sure we get the answer coming up here on Coast to Coast AM. Also, we'll get our last round of callers then for Miriam Delicato. The book is The Blue Star Prophecy, or The Blue Star Fulfilling Prophecy, and it's all about her experiences having been abducted, and not just once, but on several different occasions, and what she learned, which she said she was told in 1988, to tell us about. It only took her 20 years to get the book out, but here it is. Learn from this coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Well, let me get to Kevin in Ontario right away, and just hold on to that thought, Miriam, from earlier, but I guess I left him up here a little longer than I had originally intended. He's in Ontario, and he's on for you on Coast to Coast AM for Miriam Delicato. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, Ian, how's it going?
Good. Sorry to strand you on there, buddy. There was a mix-up on this end, so sorry about that.
Oh, it's all right. I've talked to you before, and I'm doing good over here. I'm glad to hear you're doing okay. And how are you doing, my Lady Miriam?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing all right, and I got two quick shout-outs before I get to my question about the Palladians. Mm-hmm.
Two quick shout-outs?
Yes. First of all, I want to give a quick shout-out to my friends on Pal Talk.
Okay, good.
And a quick shout-out to JC that my challenge is still up.
Okay, there you go.
And my Lady Miriam, I've been in contact with a Palladian gray hybrid for many, many years. He's actually been a guest on this show years ago. His name is Robin Holgate.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know what your experience has been on hybrids, gray human or Palladian human, because I figure that the tall blondes you're speaking of are actually the Palladians.
I can't say if they're Palladian or not. I don't remember them ever using a name for where specifically they were from, so I can't answer that. As far as the genetic program is concerned, I do have information on that. It's my understanding that these Nordics that we sometimes see, which are similar to the grays, or sorry, to the tall blondes, except they're shorter and stockier, and people have seen them walking around, you know, they can see them anywhere in our society, the Nordic aliens, that the Nordics are actually a hybrid of the tall blondes, and that they also have some sort of a role in which in the end times they will be coming and living among us and helping us to assimilate into this new world. I am not aware of any genetic program specifically that has to do with a gray and a human, but what I can tell you, which was very disturbing to me, is once when I was in the astral realm and I was taken by a tall blonde in this other dimension to an underground base, and in this underground base I was told to stay away from that area, and there I saw genetic mutations and experimentation happening, and it was quite horrific, and it frightened me.
So you've never heard anything about gray human hybrids?
No.
Okay, so, and because I've been in contact with a hybrid, has actually been a very good friend of mine for many, many years, since I was 16 years old.
Right.
And he's actually been, like I said, he was a guest,
right,
on this very show years ago. His name is Robin Holgate. He's
right,
a hybrid.
Right, right. But, like, tell me, I mean, just real quickly, Kevin, I mean, so we established that. What now? Once you know that information, she doesn't know a lot about it, but what should people do with that information as you have it?
Well, I would think that to let people know that extraterrestrials are here. You know, they are among us, and they've even been among us in many different ways. You know what I mean?
Sure. Just wanted to make sure I understood the point. Appreciate it, and thanks for your patience. And everybody else will just have to wait. We had to get Kevin first, and we'll get everybody else lined up next for Miriam Delicato on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Well, we'll get as many as we can between now and the top of the hour for Miriam Delicato, but you can go ahead and pick up her book, Blue Star Fulfilling Prophecy, and you can link up to her through coasttocoastam.com. Liz is in Winnipeg for Miriam Delicato. Go ahead, Liz.
Yeah, hi. I was. What I find really great about programs like this is that other people are coming up with contactees that are saying that they feel it's really true what she's saying, and I'm as well saying the same kind of thing. And I wondered whether if people could, like, draw pictures of their symbols that they were seeing and photograph them and send them into Coast to Coast to post, so other people that feel that they're being contacted could see if they're seeing the same kind of things. My question for Miriam is whether or not maybe the blue star is something that is an energy shift that people that are contactees are starting to see in their mind's eye or in their vision. Because when I feel like I think of something that infers love, I see this blue star in my mind's eye or in my vision, and I went to an eye doctor and he says, no, he doesn't know what it would be, and no one else knows what it is. They just think I'm seeing things, and I wondered if that makes any sense to you or heard of anything like that.
Well, to answer the first part about the symbols, I think that that's great. On my website, I put one of the symbols that I saw on the blonde aliens, And so that's on my website. As well, with the blue star being in the mind, because this time is now, because we're beginning the process of the change of the earth, I think that a lot of people are getting the messages of what's coming. So to me, I still believe that there's going to be a physical blue star or a blue hue star in the sky. And it could possibly be that you're just simply getting the message, and the message is coming through so strongly that you're almost physically being able to see it in your mind's eye.
Do you remember the question that was asked before the top of the hour, last hour?
Yes.
Okay. It's important to get that answer on, and I didn't mean to drag out the poor man's question so long. So you want to just pick that back up again before we move on?
Absolutely. He asked if there was any way that the U.S. could lessen the suffering. And there's certainly a way that all of humanity can lessen the suffering, and that's by beginning to act like a community and really stop and take a look at the world and say, all right, what do we need to do in order to prepare and start building on that? You know, I could go on about my own political views of what's happening in the world. We could all do better as far as building sustainable living and creating an environment within governments to be able to help the people make building structures that are not harmful to the earth, to get zero-point energy going so that we're not, you know, using fossil fuels on the planet. And the United States, as a country, could stand up as the political power of the earth and make a stand. There's, of course, the United States could change the suffering of the world when this catastrophe takes place. Because if we take the money that you're currently putting towards the war and put it towards shelters and food preparation and that type of thing, then of course the suffering would be less in the future.
Why aren't the tall blondes doing more? Well, I mean, if they have this different energy, you know, technology, why don't they just give it to us and then we won't be, you know, we would be much better off?
The callers that have called in, the people that have called in have all expressed along the same lines that they're getting these great messages. Well, there are people out there that are getting messages on better types of energies, and they're just having difficulties in getting it out to the public. So that's one of the things. Also, the tall blondes have a policy of non-interference with the earth. The only way that they will step in is if we create a situation for ourselves that we are going to harm the planet itself, or if there's going to be the great catastrophe coming and it's going to harm the earth. Because if we destroy the earth itself, then we destroy part of God's creation, and it will affect them in their world. So we are all interconnected, and we need to think that we are not the only life in the universe and in this particular galaxy.
And I respect that. I guess my question really would come back down to is why? I mean, if the circumstances are so grave that 2/3 of the planet is going to die, then what is in their interests for them to withhold anything? I mean, isn't that sort of the ultimate arrogance? I mean, they sort of sound like intergalactic Euro trash or something, that they just don't, they're going to sit back and they're going to sip their drinks, and you know they're just not going to get involved if all of this destruction and death is going to happen, and it might be, say, avoided if they suddenly stepped in and just brought down plunk. Here's a great energy source. Hi, we're the tall blonde ones. We don't see us for a while. Here's all the energy you need. Generate it this way.
Well, we have free will, and they are not here to impose their complete will upon us. And, you know, they had a hand in creating mankind, and I talk about that in my writing, and I say that, you know, they had a hand in creating mankind. That's part of the reason that they have a stake in what it is that's happening to the planet today. So, but they are not God, and we still have free will. They're just the caretakers of this planet, and we are the ones that have to guide the Earth the way that our free will takes us. And if they came down and gave us all of this and said, okay, this is what we need to do, and so on and so forth, that would be the ultimate arrogance in them coming down and telling us what to do, like little sheep.
But so, not if they're the caretakers. You see, that's the part that throws me. I mean, if they're the caretakers, and if this loss, this massive loss of life is such a tragedy from their perspective as caretakers, then take care of us. I mean, that's the definition of a caretaker, is one that takes care, mm-hmm. and not one that just sort of takes a high, you know, road and just says, well, we're not going to get involved. That's what an anthropologist does mm-hmm. with some, you know, community in the jungle, that they are just going to go back to their academic towers and write about.
Well,
I guess
if I look at it from that view, I would have to look at myself and say, well, they were trying to take care of me by telling me this, you know, 19 years ago, and it took me 19 years to get to the point where I'm comfortable enough within myself to be able to share this with the world because of the ridicule that I'm going to be having. So they are trying to help us. They are giving us the information that we need. They are giving us the spiritual enlightening. And, you know, what is it that you want them to do, Ian? Come down on in their ships and give us everything? The entire point of being on the planet Earth was to be able to come into these bodies, incarnate into these bodies, and be able to experience life here on Earth. And by doing so, we do not have this overwhelming sense of oneness with absolutely everything. It's the point of life on Earth itself, so that we can enjoy the trees and the flowers and sit with the ants and watch them and learn about the universe through watching nature. And by doing so, we get closer to God.
Well, then maybe that's what they're doing. They're treating us like ants and using us by watching us as getting a way of getting closer to God. Let's go to David east of the Rockies. He's in Devil's Pond, Georgia, on Coast to Coast AM for Miriam Delicato. David?
Good morning. I've been enjoying the program tonight. I've got a question or two. I don't doubt you at all, really, on how much you believe in this. But considering the fact that you're so receptive and that some of these other people, you know, who've called in are so receptive, is it possible that you're being manipulated, or, you know, in other words, you're being misled to get people to believe this, to go to these safe havens at some point in time, not to necessarily be saved, but maybe to be something more sinister that happened to be either harvested or to be, you know, taken somewhere else to be used. In other words, they can't take everybody on the planet, but if they can concentrate their resources, you know, to take as many people as possible in one fell swoop and then disappear, they've accomplished their mission. And the reason they're setting you up for this is so that they can buy their time as they build their forces to do what they ultimately want to do.
Miriam?
Well, you know, I don't have the answer to that. I know that my interactions with them have been really positive. I don't have that feeling from them at all. There is never 100% certainty in anything in this life, regardless of what it is that we're talking about. And, you know, the messages that they're giving us are really positive messages, whether or not we are going to be getting a message to go to a certain area, or for the people listening right now, to stay in the area that they are and prepare by collecting seeds and all of those types of things, learning to prepare to survive on their own. So the messages that I'm receiving are very straightforward and positive. And because of the enlightenment that I've had through contact with them, I don't believe that it's sinister at all.
Okay.
I don't believe that. And But you have to question absolutely everything, and it's right to question everything.
Brian, west of the Rockies, Eugene, Oregon, on Coast to Coast AM for Miriam Delicato. Brian?
Listening on your affiliate KPNW, Eugene Springfield.
Glad to have you.
Listen to your caller or your guest. And I guess I don't know whether it's a question or a statement, but I believe that I would rather just run out as soon as I see the comet and die rather than stick around and be in massive pain, knowing that drugs and painkillers, help is going to be in short supply like in any disaster. And the second comment is, I think you're a very clever woman, but I think you really ought to be ashamed of yourself putting all these people at, getting them scared for something that isn't going to happen anyway. God said, you know, there's going to be wars and rumors of war, and I think what you're doing is setting a panic stage, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself. That's all I have to say.
You know what, Brian, I'm just not going to ask her to respond to that, because I hate the whole shame-based thing. It's so lame.
Thank you.
I'm just, you can reject it if you want, but
I'm just going to say that, I appreciate that people question things, and I appreciate that people have different points of view, but his statement shows what is wrong with society today, and that is that people judge each other so quickly that when we go to work each day, we're being judged for every 5 minutes of our work, and we are not responsive to each other and being able to communicate on a level of caring and compassion. And if he wants to run out and die, then by all means, go, because if he has that attitude, and I'm still on the planet, I don't want to have to be trying to communicate with him to live in a better world in the next world as it comes.
First-time caller line, Mike is in Carlsbad on Coast to Coast AM. Mike?
Yeah, I believe the prophecy said that the star was going to appear and people would see it and they would know it was the end time. And Miriam's saying it's this comet Holmes. So is this some bright phenomena that we can go out and look at right now?
Absolutely. It is. You can look it up on the internet, and I'll say it again. It's 17.
No. But he wants to know, can you see it? Because yes. If it's a bright star, then you should be able to eyeball it as opposed to just find it theoretically on the internet.
If you go out and look to the northeast, you'll be able to find the star just after the sun goes down. It's in the northeast, and it's very bright.
Well, that's all we'll have time for. And I refer everybody else, if you want to get a copy of the book, you can link up to her through the website at coasttocoastam.com. Miriam Delicato, we will be watching, and if you get any more revelations on this, certainly let us know, and we'll update people as we go along. All right?
Thank you.
And we never got to Joe, who was calling from the third dimension. But, hopefully we'll get him back on again sometime, maybe on an open line night. And also, too, coming up tomorrow night on Coast to Coast AM, it's the Wizard's Bestiary. It's Oberon Zell Ravenheart, and he says, mythical beasts? Ha! And he can prove it. And we'll talk about tomorrow night the very same beasts, which he has personal information on, he has helped to raise, and how you can get one too, perhaps. Coming up tomorrow night, I'll be in on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Deus te amat, and I do too.